Great job this morning, worship team. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 6. As you'll remember, last week we kicked off a new sermon series entitled Life of the Party. I am one of those people that I believe Jesus is the life of the party. I believe he was the life of the party. I believe that's the reason he got invited to so many. We see the first miracle that Jesus did was a party. We call it a wedding. But when Jesus showed up, things just get better. And I think that's the idea of a party. By the way, I don't know that Brother Alex is in here this morning. He may be across the way helping with the kiddos. There he is. Alex, and he has a crew that he's put together that we call them our creative team, and they have decorated our stage for Life of the Party. They've done that a couple times lately. Alex and your crew, thank you for helping with that. I enjoy it. It looks like a party up here, and so I hope, yeah, absolutely, we'll give them a hand. Thank y'all for serving and being a part of it. I think it just makes it fun sometimes when we get to decorate for those sermon series and just brings a little more life and a little more interest in it. And I look around up here and just see all the things. And when you think about the things that are here, whether it's a picnic table or whether it's lawn chairs and beach balls or disc golf or where you can cook burgers, there's just all of those things remind you of some phase of a party. But I think the real key ingredient to everything we do in life, I believe life is supposed to be a party. And I believe the key ingredient is not hamburgers. I believe that it's maybe not potato chips or hot dogs or even homemade ice cream, even though I think that's a pretty important one. But I would tell you, I think when it comes to life, the key ingredient is Jesus. When we think about Jesus and the statements that he makes and things he claims to be able to do or things that he can do and things that he claims to be, who he claims to be, one of the statements that Jesus makes in John chapter 6, and we're going to read it, is he says, I am the bread of life. Now, if you think about bread, I don't know about you, but for most of us, bread is a weakness. We like it. I like it whether it's in a loaf or whether it's in a slice or whether it has cinnamon and icing on the top of it. I like bread about any way you pick it. And if you look at different cultures all over the world, you'll see in those cultures that every culture has a basic staple of bread. If you look maybe in the Mexican culture, it's tortillas, whether you have them with corn or whether you have them with flour. If you look at us in the South, it's biscuits. We just like biscuits. We like, it doesn't matter, even if you go across the ocean, across the big pond to other parts of the world, even Italy or places, they have their big loaves of bread that you get to eat. But everybody kind of has a staple. When I was thinking about that this week and I was thinking about my family just growing up, there were some things that you could bank on for my family. Now, Saturday morning, we might eat out quite a bit during the week, but Saturday morning was pretty well a staple for us. We're going to have breakfast together. Mom was going to make breakfast, and we were going to eat it around the table. And I was thinking about it. It's kind of funny when I was thinking about it this morning. My dad always sat at the head of the table, and right to his right was my mom, and then across next to her was my sister. And we had a rectangle kind of table, not a circle one, and so the seat down here on the end was always open. On my dad's left was always my brother, and next to him was always me. We never like had assigned seats, but we were Baptists, so we sat in the same one every time we ate. It's just the way it works. But when I think about it, there were three staples that we always had at our meals. It didn't matter whether it was breakfast or lunch or dinner. When we sat around the table, there were two or three things that you could always count on. One of those things that you could always count on is that we were going to have meat of some kind. Now, I didn't grow up in a casserole family. My dad just didn't roll like that. We're going to have some kind of meat. Another thing that was always interesting with my dad, I don't know how many of you, at times I get to eat with different people and I see it with them, but we didn't use napkins. All of us used paper towels except for Dad, and he had a dish towel. That's what Dad used, was a dish towel. I can remember Mom would finish cooking, and that's kind of how you knew it was time to eat, when Mom put the dish towel by Dad's plate. But he didn't use paper towels, he used a dish towel. And then the other thing that was always a staple for us is we're going to have some kind of bread. Mom would make hot rolls or she'd make biscuits. If she didn't make anything, and sometimes it wasn't that she made biscuits, sometimes we just had those wampum biscuits. Those ones that when you womp them, they just explode and open up and you take them out and put them on the pan. But if we didn't even have wampum biscuits, we were going to have white bread. Mom would just set out white bread, but we were always going to have bread. It was a staple. So I got to thinking about that this week as Jesus claimed to be the bread of life, and here's what I was thinking. I thought, what is it that it takes to make bread? There are 7 ingredients to bread. If you look at just simple recipes kind of across the board, some of you ladies who bake, or maybe some of you men who bake, will know this, but water is a key ingredient. Yeast, flour, sugar, I thought was interesting, salt, and oil. Now, I know some of you are already thinking, you said 7. Well, there's 6 that you use to make it, and there's 1 that you use to make it better. That's butter. All right? So I really think there's 7 ingredients. Now, 6 of them you put in the bread, and 1 of them you put on the bread, but it just makes it all better, right? I think when we look at Jesus being the bread of life, there's a lot of scripture verses in John chapter 6. And so we're going to kind of break them down this morning and kind of walk through them a little bit by little bit. And so a few places it's 2 or 3 verses, and a few places it's 7 or 8 verses. So you'll just kind of have to keep your Bible open and follow along with me this morning. But you need to know this before we jump in, what has just happened. In John chapter 6, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. That's where it starts out in the first about 15 verses. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And then in verse 16, for about 4 or 5 verses, it tells the story that the disciples got in the boat and Jesus walked out on the water and met them. And the next morning, the people can't figure out how it is because they knew Jesus didn't get in the boat with the disciples, but yet there Jesus is with them in Capernaum. And so then we pick the story up in John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. It says, Jesus answered, I assure you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. I want to give you some ingredients this morning. If you were going to make bread in life, how would you go about that? You got to choose your ingredients. I'm going to give you 2 different options. One of them this morning is going to be fairly obvious. It's not the right option. One of them is going to be fairly obvious that it is the best option. The first one that I would say is for now or from now on. Again, look what it says in verses 26 and 27. I assure you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. When you think about being bread, a staple in our community, when you think about being a staple in your family, when you think about being a staple in your office, when you think about being a staple in Walmart or wherever you go, one of the things that's important is we must keep an eye on the future as opposed to the present. Are you thinking for now? Or are you thinking for now on? Because if you're thinking for now, it's in the present that we get frustrated and sometimes make bad decisions. But if we're always thinking from now on in the future, if we're thinking what's going to happen big picture, I think it gives us a better perspective. One of those will perish, and it says one lasts forever. Invest in the essentials. If we're not careful, we get caught up. I don't know how many of you have ever read the little booklet called Tyranny of the Urgent. If we're not careful, our lives get to where they're driven and powered by the urgent as opposed to the important. The urgent always crowds out the important. For us to think, not for now, but from now on. It's interesting when you look in those verses too. It says, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give. You see, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask the Lord to help you to have that perspective. If you're one that works in the present, that it's maddening to you in the present and you just can't look out there, hey, ask the Lord to help. And look at the second set of verses in verses 28 and 29. It says, what can we do to perform the works of God, they ask. And Jesus replied, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. When I think about ingredient number 2 this morning, for a lot of us, we have a struggle between work, 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 and believe. It says, the scripture says that God gives it to us. It doesn't say that we work for it. But for us, we always hear this idea of do, 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 work, work, work. And the scripture say, hey, Jesus said, what you need to do is just believe. But all of us have a tendency to want to work. Of all the things that Jesus said in those verses, they said, what can we do to perform the works of God? All they heard from before was that Jesus said work, but it's not work, it's give. For us to focus on belief, to know that God will work in the process, that God desires to help us in the process of believing. Trust. Grow your faith. John chapter 6, verse 30 to 34, listen to what it says. It says, "What sign then are you going to do that we may see and believe you?" they asked. "What are you going to perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I assure you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven, for the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." It's interesting for us. If I were going to give you a choice number three of ingredients, I'd say, hey, are you going to go with our guy Moses, or are you going to go with our God Jehovah? You see, Jesus is trying to teach them about the bread of life, and they go back to the Old Testament. For them, that's what they had, was the Old Testament and the stories. And they go, hey, Jesus is trying to teach them about being the bread of life and how significant he is to each one of them in their lives. And they say, well, yeah, but you remember with Moses, he gave the people bread every day. He just provided it for them in the wilderness. Remember the story about manna? When the people grumbled that God had brought them out there to die, and so then God started letting them have manna each day, that he had sent them manna from heaven. I thought it was interesting. If you read back to that story, it says that they were flakes. Most of us, when we think of manna, we think of little chunks of bread. I thought it was interesting when I was reading it this week. Christy would tell you, one of my snacks in the evening sometime, if I'm a little bit hungry but I don't want to fix something, I'll get out a little cup, and I'll get out the Tony the Tigers, the Frosted Flakes. And just pour them in a cup and eat them dry. They crunch. They're sweet. They're awesome. I think they're probably like manna. I think that's probably what it was like. It talks about manna being like a flake. I think it was something like Tony the Tigers. But I think it's interesting for us when we get to look at it that they went back and said, hey, but you say you're the bread of life, but let me tell you about Moses. Moses gave food to our ancestors every day. It just fell from heaven like frosted flakes. I'm amazed at us how many times we don't give credit where credit's due. Isn't it interesting in our world? When something good happens, most of us think, boy, didn't I do good? Man, I sure made a good decision there. Man, I sure picked right. Oh, they're lucky to have me at my place where I work. But isn't it interesting when something goes wrong at all the people in our culture, sometimes including even us, that we go, God, why did you do that? We would look at them and go, hey, Jesus is teaching about the bread of life. And you say, yeah, but Moses. Or yeah, but Abraham. It's not Moses. It's God. It's God that brings the blessing in all of our lives. The difference in each of our lives being not a good life and being a great life, the best life, is Jesus. It's not Moses, and it's not us. But they said, hey, what about Moses? Let me remind you how great Moses is. It's amazing that we pray, and we've talked about this before on Tuesday night at our prayer time. By the way, if you've never joined us for Tuesday prayer at 6 p.m., you should come and join us. You want to see what God's doing? You want to see God do miraculous things? You should come and pray through the cards that we bring in here. If you got something we could pray for you about, grab a card back there on the side of the sound booth before you leave this morning. Fill it out and give it to me. We'll put it in the prayer room. God is doing miracles through our prayer ministry. And on Tuesday night, I bring all the cards over here, and we line them up, and we pray a little while ourselves, whatever we want to pray about, and then we divide up with twos, and we pray over the cards here. And you ought to hear the reports each week of cards that we pray for that God has answered. I got a prayer answer this morning from Tim. Tim back there was telling me about one of the ladies we've been praying for, one of his friends. His mom was not eating, and she was not doing well to the point that it was a problem. We started praying for her, and he was telling me this morning that she's back eating, has a healthy appetite, and is doing well. Now, we have a tendency to think, well, things just changed for her. No, God just answered our prayers. We've talked about it before on Tuesday night. It's amazing that sometimes, if you're like me, I'm guilty too. I'll pray that God would do something miraculous for people, and then when he does, I'll say, man, aren't doctors spectacular? Isn't it amazing what we can do with medicine? Can I tell you something? Even if it's medicine, it's still miraculous. God's in control of everything. And we would look at them and go, yeah, Jesus is trying to explain to them about being the bread of life. And they're saying, yeah, but Moses. We have a tendency to do the same thing. For us, they said, hey, we want to see. They said, what are you going to do to show us? For us, we think see and believe. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 34, not see and believe. It says taste and see. My first sermon a week from tomorrow at Falls Creek is going to be Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, when you think about looking, you don't really have to buy in to watch something. You don't really have to buy in that much even to touch something or to smell something. Now, there are times, isn't it amazing at the times that people go, man, that's awful, smell that. Christy will do that to me sometimes. She'll do something and she'll go, man, that's awful. Like, guys, if you're ever with them when they're shopping for candles, you know what I mean? They take the lid off and smell it and go, oh, that's awful. Here, smell it. You're like, no, I don't want to smell it. But when you taste something, hey, you kind of got to go all in if you're going to taste something. Right? Because if it's really bad, you can spit it out, but the taste don't go away. But the Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good. These people didn't want to taste and see. They wanted to see and believe. But the scriptures say taste and see that the Lord is good. So many times people just want to follow Jesus for the benefits. I'm not knocking you if this is you. But I'm amazed at the people who will put the little ichthus fish on their business card or their business sign. I think sometimes they do that because they want you to know they're Christ followers. They love Jesus. And they want to run their business according to Christian principles. But sometimes they do it because it's good for business. The scriptures in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hey, it's not about Moses. It's about Jesus. Look at verses 35 to 46, pretty long one, but stick with me here. It says, I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever thirst again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the ones who come to me I will never cast out, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Therefore the Jews, catch this, therefore the Jews started complaining about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, stop complaining among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. For it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. When I think about ingredient number four, or choice number four of ingredients for us to put in, Jesus makes a statement where he says, I am the bread of life. Now, that's not as significant to us as it would have been to the people of the first century, but do you remember when God sent Moses to talk to Pharaoh to let my people go? And he says, well, what do I do if he asks, who told me to come and tell you that? What did God say? You tell him, I am. What do I say if Pharaoh says, hey, who gives you the right? You said, you tell him, I am. You see, when Jesus says, I am, they would have all perked up. And then he says the bread of life, and they've just talked about manna coming from heaven, from God. And now Jesus has made a correlation between himself and the manna, that he came from heaven to earth, sent of God. I am the bread of life. And all of a sudden now they got a problem. And what is it that they do? They begin to complain and murmur when they had the option to listen and learn instead of complaining. You ever think about it when you're complaining? When we're complaining, what we're all doing is building an argument against whatever the person that's teaching or speaking is saying. Whether it's in an official setting like this, or maybe it's in an informal setting that we're sitting around eating lunch. When we start complaining, what we do is we start thinking about how we're going to say what we're going to say, as opposed to listening and learning to what it is that they're speaking of. That's what the people did here. As soon as Jesus said, I am the bread of life from heaven to earth on behalf of God the Father, they didn't hear anything else he said. They started thinking, he can't be that guy. I can't believe he'd claim to be that guy. How in the world does he say this is what they're thinking? Jesus said, you've seen me and yet you do not believe. But he says, Jesus says, if you would just listen and learn, if you would just listen and learn, everyone will be taught by God. It says in verse 45, everyone who has listened and learned, listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. When we think about listening and learning from God, how do we do that? Well, you do that by reading God's Word. You do that by having a quiet time and spending time in prayer every day. Read some verses in your Bible. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you. Train yourself to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. But then you also can come to church. You can learn from what your pastor preaches, that God gives him the message to share with you and to teach you and to help you as you find Jesus and help other people to find Jesus. That's true on Sunday morning in worship, but that's also true on Sunday morning in Sunday school. Your Sunday school teacher will help you learn if you'll listen. But you got to attend. You got to be there. Same on Wednesday night. You have an opportunity to be here and study God's Word, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and to learn what God would have you know. But unfortunately for most of us, we don't listen and learn. Sometimes we have a tendency to just complain and murmur. I wish it weren't at 9 in the morning. I wish we did Sunday school first. I wish Wednesday nights were later so I could have a little more time off. There's always something for us. But Jesus says, listen and learn. Look at verses 47 to 59. Says, I assure you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. That's a pretty strong statement for, yeah, but Moses, isn't it? Jesus said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. At that time, the Jews argued among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So they said to him, Jesus said to them, I assure you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. And anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him, just as the Father sent him, and I live because of the Father, so that the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your fathers ate, and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. And he said these things while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now there's kind of some crazy things there. We understand what Jesus is saying, but if you were new to the gospel, you'd think that was crazy what Jesus is preaching right here. But we have a tendency to think in terms of communion when Jesus says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about right here. Jesus is referencing the Old Testament sacrificial system to these people, of which they would have a greater understanding of than any of us. They understood that bread was sustenance. But they understood that blood was life. They understood when they sacrificed an animal, when the blood ran out, the animal's not going to die. They had a significant thing that they understood. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," what was bread was sustenance and life was blood. That's why Jesus is speaking to them. But you got to know that in that time, Yahweh, Jehovah God, is not the only God that people sacrificed to of that day. Jesus said that he lives in me and I in him. That would make sense to them, not just from a Christian standpoint, but also from just a sacrificial standpoint, because Jesus, Yahweh, Jehovah God, was not the only God that they sacrificed people to. You read that about other, or sacrificed things to, and you read that in other places in the scripture. But in the other sacrifices that they did, the sacrifice was what wasn't used on the altar was a lot of times given to the priest, and the priest would eat it. That's how he was provided for. And sometimes what was left over, they would take and have a big party themselves. But they understood the significance of taking in food that had been offered or sacrificed to a god somewhere. It's interesting. I was thinking about it this week, and you think about it with Jesus, and you think about this, and it kind of sounds gruesome, and we get lost in it sometimes, but Jesus is talking about a sacrificial system that later we come to understand the significance of communion in the process, the Lord's Supper. But if you think about it, it's kind of like having a book on your shelf. Anybody here got a book on your shelf at home that you've never read? You should see my study. I've got ones I've read all around the walls, but behind my desk, I've got them stacked of ones I need to read. Now, I love to read, but I'm just behind. But let me ask you a question. That book on your shelf at home, when you bought it, did you plan to read it? Or you just didn't know what to do with that $13? When you saw that book on the shelf, wherever you got it, didn't you think, hey, I'm going to buy that. I'll read that book. And some of us have had those books for months. Some of us have had those books for years. And you've never read it. The fact is there good information in that book? Yeah, but it's available to you. But if you don't read it, it makes no difference how much good information or how great the story is. Do you know it's that way with this book? You may have a dozen of these at home, but if you don't read it and apply the principles and the truths of it to your life, it really doesn't make any difference, does it? It don't matter if it's genuine leather or fake leather or no cover at all or hard cover. If you don't read it, what difference does it make? This is to read and apply. It's not an accessory to your outfit on Sunday. You don't buy this to match the color of your shirt. But some of us haven't touched ours since last Sunday when we were here. Some of ours don't know where ours is at. It's lost somewhere on that shelf with those other books that we don't read. When you think in terms of that book, I want you to know this. Jesus did not come to make your life better. Jesus came to give you new life. Did you hear that? Listen to me. I want you to catch this. Jesus did not come to make your life better. Jesus came to give you new life. That's a whole different thing. But if you don't read and apply and listen and learn, you miss it. But he says, out with death and in with life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift, remember now we're back to that giving part again. The gift of God is eternal life. For them, it was a stumbling block. Hey, what about us? What's your stumbling block? What's the thing that's keeping you from being obedient? Now, I told you that there's six ingredients to bread. And then there's that one that you put on it, that butter that's really significant. I've given you five choices this morning of ingredients. I've given you the choice of for now or from now on, for work, or believe, for our God Moses or our God Jehovah. You can complain and murmur, or you can listen and learn. You can be out with death and in with life. But here's the butter. Look in verse 60. It says, therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Hey, when he started out and he offended them about saying, I am the bread of life, now when he starts talking about ascending back to where he came from, he's speaking to them and he says, the spirit is to one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Therefore, Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus replied to them, didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is the devil. He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because Judas was going to betray him. I'm going to tell you the butter is in these verses. And do you want something that's easy to understand or difficult to accept? The truth is, the gospel is both of those. It's easy to understand. And in verse 60, he says, therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? If you look at that Greek word hard, this teaching is hard. The Greek word is skleros. S-K-L-E-R-O-S, skleros. It means that it's not hard to understand. It means that it's hard to accept it and put it into practice. It's not hard to grasp it and comprehend it. It's hard to do it. Is that true? Yeah, the gospel's pretty simple. It's really not hard, but it's tough to do. The Bible says you can understand it if you think like a child. But you got to be a disciple if you're going to do it. The fact is, Jesus' actions grew and attracted crowds. But Jesus' sermons scattered people. We like to think that Jesus' teaching just drew people in. No, when Jesus taught, he was speaking so much truth that the people went, hey, I understand, but I'm not that much in. I'm not doing that. They left, said, hey, I'm out. That cat wants everything. He wants you to commit to everything. He wants you to be all in. He's not about seeing and believing. He's about tasting and seeing. I want you to see something I thought was interesting, and I'm not one of those guys that looks for God in the clouds. But look down there, it says, from that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Right before you read that verse, look at what the numbers are. What verse is that? Come on. What verse is it? 66. What chapter are we in of John? Now you stop and think about that a second. When they got it, they say, hey, I'm out. Chapter 6, verse 66. I thought of it when I wrote it on my paper. I thought, that's a lot of sixes. But three of them kind of catches my attention. My new debit card the bank sent me is a 666 number. Sheesh. I thought, man, if they saw that, they got to know this is funny. Hey, send that one to the preacher. I'm fixing to get a new card. But I think it's interesting that it's John 6:66 that says, hey, they understood, but they're not following anymore. From that moment on, many of his disciples turned back. And then Peter says, not that we had any other options. Peter says, Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. It's not that Peter didn't have any other options. What did Peter do before he started following Jesus? He was a fisherman. He was self-employed. He don't have to go get his job back and ask the boss if they'll hire him back on. He owned the company. He hasn't started following Jesus and forgotten how to fish. It's not that he's going, hey, what would we do? Like, I don't have any other options. He had options. He understood. He grasped it, and he was willing to do it. He said, where else would we go? That's so significant. He had a new understanding. He said, we have come to believe and know. The ingredients for bread, you put them all together and you mix them up and then you bake it and put butter on the top. Those ingredients aren't important. They're essential. If you leave out the yeast, you got crummy bread. If you leave out the water, you got crummy bread. If you leave out the flour, you got crummy bread. You see, it takes all of them. By the way, crummy bread, no pun intended. But it takes all of them to make it work. You can't use 5 of the 6 or 4 of the 6, or you can't even take the 6 and go, well, I'm not going to use flour. I'm going to use Cap'n Crunch. It don't work like that. It takes all of them. You can't miss one. They're not important. They're essential. They're vital. And I think that's true of the choices that we have to make in our recipe when we look at Jesus being the bread of life. I read a story of a man who was painting the picture of a Last Supper, and it took him years and years because he wanted to look for the perfect person on each one of the faces of the disciples. He wanted to pick a person that he thought resembled that person and paint that person into the picture. When he started out, he found the perfect guy. Face of radiance, face of joy, everything about him said, hey, that's the face I'm going to use for Jesus. Years passed. He continued to look for people, and he'd find somebody that reminded him of Matthew, and he'd paint their face for Matthew, and find somebody for John, and he'd paint their face for John. And when he got to the end, he was looking for somebody to paint for Judas. He had a picture in his mind, and one time he was down kind of in a rough part of town and among the homeless, and he ran across a guy that he thought, that's him. That's the guy I'm going to paint for Judas. And he went up to him and he told him what he was doing was painting a picture. And he wanted to know if he could use him for one of the faces. And before he could explain who it was, the guy said, you've already used me. I know who you are. You used me for Jesus. Years had passed and he had made bad decisions. And he had gotten out of fellowship. And now he looked more like Judas than he did like Jesus. I wonder for us, do you look more like Jesus or do you look more like Judas? Does your recipe, does your roadmap driving you to Jesus or is it driving you to Judas? The fact is, every decision we make, every day is another day for the recipe of the bread of life. You can take the ingredients of bread of life and you can mix them into your life and you can be like Jesus if you'll take those ingredients and mix them into your life. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessing that this is to each of us. I pray that you'd help us to take the ingredients that you had in your life and put them into our life that we might be the bread of life wherever we go. Lord, whatever it is that's a hang up for us, whether it's not giving credit where credit's due or giving credit in the wrong place, or, Lord, maybe there's a roadblock somewhere along the way that we just can't buy in. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us this morning. Teach us to be more like you. Call us to be more like Jesus. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.